Did you just see that?
Hello. I'm just telling you, is anybody in there? Wow.
Just too comfortably numb while you're just there.
Wow.
I know you didn't ask me, Danny. I know Yurko didn't ask me. Not surprised. But comfortably numb would be my favorite.
That's a good one.
Another good one.
I know no one asked.
There really isn't a bad Pink Floyd song.
Yurko says, "Wish you were here."
You were here. You cannot go wrong.
You gotta play a little of that for us.
We'll bounce back with it. Wish you were here
is. How about not?
What do you mean?
Not.
How about
it's
not?
Better than the Nelly or whatever is going to come up to start the 9 o'clock hour that Mike's got in the system.
Nothing wrong with Nelly. Oh,
we're gonna hear Candy Shop from 50 Cent coming up.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, culturally biased. Not surprised.
It's got nothing to do with culture. It's got to do with good songs and bad songs.
That's a good song.
All right, well,
all those songs are good.
I'll wrestle you over Candy Shop being a good song.
You ain't wrestle me anywhere, pal. You're not going to wrestle me anywhere.
It's not going to end well for anyone going up against him. He's strong man. Javi Baez, 0 for 4 yesterday with 3 really feeble Ks. What's his value now? That and your calls next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Yerk's cruising in his pickup truck. And he's listening to this Pink Floyd going, wow, this morning show's cool. Thank you, Yurk.
Part of that's true.
Yeah. The other part of it is it was cool when I became a part of it.
So, no question.
So you think you could tell
Pink
heaven from hell.
Floyd.
Blue skies from pain.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
A lot of pain.
Tell a green field. Yeah.
Pretty good. Mallor, nicely done. We might have to pull the music bumps away from Mike and give it to Mallor. That's pretty good.
Yep, that's pretty good. I'll go back on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You can play this with Hanley.
Did they get you to train?
All right, so let's talk about Javi Baez, because 2 days ago we got the news that Francisco, and don't ever call him Frankie again. He spoke to the New York media yesterday and said, my mother named me Francisco. I dealt with Frankie when they called me that, whatever. No more. I am Francisco Lindor, and I don't want to be called Frankie ever again.
Yeah, never called him Frankie. I guess others do, right?
I never did either. Yeah. I always called him Francisco Lindor.
That's what his name is.
But he got $341 million over, what, 10 years?
Yeah.
So, everyone, I was listening to Jessica Mendoza, and I don't remember which play-by-play person she was working with yesterday.
It was Dave O'Brien.
Dave O'Brien. They were talking about the collection of shortstops. Trevor Story still going to be out there. Javi Baez still going to be out there. Lindor's off the market. There's another one.
Carlos Correa.
Carlos Correa, and he announced he had rejected a 5-year, $125 million extension, and that he's going to go to free agency. That's fine. His number's nowhere near as good as Javi's because he can't stay in the lineup. He's hurt all the time. Go look at his games played. Not impressive. He's a hell of a player. He just can't stay on the field. So I heard her say, what is a Javi Baez worth if you've got a 341 going to Lindor? Javi Baez has got to be a $200 million. No chance.
Well, here's the thing. Two things with that. So the Votto deal with the Reds, a 10-year deal, the Arenado deal.
How much was Votto?
Votto was 10 years, $225.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a bargain now for a team that can't get out of its own way.
Yep.
Well, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stanton with the Marlins, now the Yankees, right? Stanton with the Marlins.
Yes, $325.
Yeah, $325, 13 years. The Tatis deals you talked about, Lindor, the Trout deal. We go back to the Mookie Betts deal with the Dodgers, 12 years, $365. See, I just thought that Baez, because of what we saw in the World Series championship, and as he grew, I thought he'd be one of those full boat players.
Right.
Like, what have I been asking for? A cornerstone franchise player for the Cubs when they rebuild this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because this core, it's not it. It's just, it's not where, I mean, it's not even close to the 2016 team. So I always thought Baez would be that guy, right? that's why people are pushing for it, because they say, look at the swag. Look what he did when he was really good. And now you look at him, he says, boy, he's a feeble shortstop offensively. What happened?
I don't know what happened. Last year it was you know, the COVID season. There was no video because you weren't allowed to go back to the clubhouse because they wanted everybody not to be exposed to certain things that could possibly impact them. And he just doesn't look right. That ball, it's slider, they keep diving it to the other batter's box, and he's swinging at it.
So the lack of video, you think in the clubhouse could be an effect?
Now you can look at video again. Now we're one game in.
Right.
And he was very outspoken at the end of last year, and even during the year, he was one of the more vocal guys saying that the video really affected him. That's why this year, you know, it doesn't surprise me that they haven't been able to get a deal done, because if I'm Jed, I need him to prove that it was just the video, you know, and now that it's back, go back to being closer to what you were.
Jeff, he calls you right now, Hoodie. He calls you right now.
Yeah.
You're running the Cubs. Your cell phone rings. You're like, I got to take this. It's Javi. Hey, man, what's up? You know what? I don't want to go anywhere. Forget whatever my agents have told you. Let's do a deal right now. I'll sign. He's 29, 28, 29.
Yeah, this is his age 28 season.
Okay, 28. I'll sign an 8-year deal right now for 160, $20 million a year for 8 years. You doing it?
I think that is very reasonable. I think if you're Jed, that's something you could probably have an appetite for.
You doing it?
I can't give it to him right now, not today. He's got to prove something.
Okay, Jed, if you don't say yes to this, you could throw two option years on it at $25 million a year. In years 9 and 10, they're your option, not mine. And that way I can hold my head up at the press conference and go, I just signed for 210. And you're not on the hook for those last 2 years if I'm bad. Or if it's June 1st and I'm hitting 325 and I've got 14 home runs and I'm playing gold glove defense, I ain't negotiating with you and I'm going to free agency and you're going to regret it.
Well, you're part of a core that can't hit, so see you later. I need to either trade you or find a way to replenish my farm system. I need that badly for the Cubs. I need it badly. There's only one or two guys that you've talked about on a regular basis that could be something for the Cubs in the minor league system. The kid from Mount Carmel.
Ed Howard.
Ed Howard, mm-hmm. The one pitcher, and like there's another player that you mentioned.
Brandon Davis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's about it, though. So, you know who I want to be? In 2 years or less, if I can help it, I'd like to be the Atlanta Braves.
Mm-hmm.
3 years or less, I'd like to be the Braves.
Here's my question.
Can I do that? If I replenish my minor league system, can I be that good?
Well, trading a guy in his walk year in July, unless it's Aroldis Chapman who is going to impact you winning the World Series, like if, pick a team, the Yankees said, oh, God, we lost a guy to injury, we want Javi Baez. You're not getting back Gleyber Torres-style prospects for 3 months of a shortstop rental. You're just not.
Well,
ship has sailed.
Well, then, Cap, if you keep rolling those guys out there and they all can't hit, every time they step into a series and they can't hit, the value goes down.
Agreed. That's why they should have had the temerity to sign or to trade somebody of substance 2 years ago. That's what we kept screaming.
Yep.
And every winter we got, we're going to ride with the core. We can't get what we want. Yeah. Because I talked to people at other organizations who said, I'm not giving you a lot for Chris Bryant. I'm not convinced he's healthy.
So what we're saying here pretty much in this conversation is that the Cubs don't have a full boat contract guy. It's not Rizzo.
No, because he'll eventually get his money and he will be here.
But not this top 10 type of money.
No. He's going to get like 5 for $100.
Well, then they don't have one then. Because that's either supposed to be Baez or Bryant by this time.
Correct.
Supposed to be.
Well said.
And that's not Hayward, right?
No, he's locked up, and that's it.
He got his money.
Contreras?
No.
I love Contreras. I love having Wilson Contreras on my team.
But that's not a difference-making catcher like a WOW, like a guy that you just got to have. You got to have Contreras? Do you have? I mean, as far as a difference-making catcher.
I would probably try. And I know they made offers to all their core guys to have. People can dispute that, whatever they want. They made an offer to Wilson, and he chose to go year to year, and that's his right. But if you go to him now and he said,
He's what, 28 as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 29. This is his age 29.
29.
So he'll be, you know, be locking him up 30 and beyond.
Okay, so if he said to you, 6 for 120, you doing that for Wilson Contreras? Because no, I am.
I am not. Almost on the wrong side of 30. Would I wish I could have given them that earlier. Can't do it.
Yeah,
he's almost 30.
I would do that with Wilson Contreras.
What is he, Fisk? You want to keep him in the ball with the ball club for 5 or 6 years?
Because I can move him to the outfield. I can play him in left field and feel very comfortable with him out there if he gets older. I absolutely can. Absolutely I could do that.
For the type of money and the years for Contreras, he better be giving me 30-plus home runs a year on a consistent basis.
Well, if you play him in the outfield, he doesn't have the beating on his body that he does catching. Maybe his offensive numbers go up.
You saw him in the outfield against Pittsburgh last year, right? You saw that where they were – what happened – something with the roster where mm-hmm. he had to play right field and someone else had to catch.
Right.
I think they were missing players. That was an odd situation.
Yeah.
He wasn't horrible out in right field.
No, and they played him back in 16. He was playing some a little bit in left field.
No, you're right. Like, he's got the flexibility. He would be able to be a serviceable left fielder. I have to imagine he'd certainly be better than Eloy is in left field, you know. But part of Wilson's real value is the fact that he is such a good hitter as a pretty good catcher. You move him into left, and all of a sudden, the bat that he has doesn't play nearly as well because you want a guy.
But does his bat get better without the pounding of you squatting down every day?
I don't know, Hawk Kaplan. I don't know.
I mean, it's a fair question. Do you think Wilson Contreras would be dramatically better as a left fielder, as a hitter? You're right. Like, you take a beating as a catcher, but I don't think you can't go into that and say, I'm going to lock this guy up to a $100+ million deal,
no shot,
counting on the fact that at the age of 30, he will get better as a hitter because I take him out from behind the plate. Like, you may be right, but you can't prove that. That's a lot of money crossing your fingers and hoping that he gets better as a hitter.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put Fisk in left field, put Karkovice behind the plate. Yes. No.
Hell yes.
No.
I mean, I get it.
And by the way, Danny's still holding on to the purse strings, still holding on to hope for the Cubs. Holding out. Let that guy go. Get younger. That's not a cornerstone guy, Contreras.
30 is not a death sentence. By the way,
to Theo, it was. If you're it only took Lester. That's the only player he'd go with that was over 30. Like, yeah, let's do it. You remember his threshold used to be 30.
But then he signed Yu Darvish over 30.
He just thought he would tip it in to get to the World Series again.
And right. They signed you, and they offloaded him before they got to the back end year.
But ask Danny, who knows a lot about nutrition and how it affects your body. Guys are performing at a higher level beyond 30 better today than they did 10 years ago because of nutrition and exercise and the importance of sleep and supplements and everything that they do. Look, the Cardinals committed to Yadi Molina. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He's 38 years old, and they're still paying that guy.
But it wasn't a one-year deal, the last one, maybe two?
This year was 1 year, but the previous one was like 6 for $100 and some million.
If they can't hit, Cap, let those guys go. You gotta start this thing over if you can hit. Unless there's when you watch this Cubs team, unless they can hit some, if they're showing some semblance of 16, then keep playing them. Otherwise, you gotta let these guys go, man. Unless you're gonna keep Contreras, unless you think that he's gonna be your future DH, because at some point we're gonna get a universal DH the way God wanted it.
Okay,
on a good Friday.
Okay, so here's his big deals. Yadi Molina in 2013, he signed a 5-year, $75 million deal. And in 2017, already in his mid to later 30s, he signed a 3-year, $60 million deal. And then this year, 1 year, $9 million. We can get back into this. 312-332-3776. We're going to break down the Sox opener as well next.
Take that.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
3-2 to Trout. Swing and a miss. He got him. Another changeup. He strikes out Fletcher, Ohtani, and Trout all on the let-up. Giolito serves. Swing and a miss on a high changeup. He's faced nine batters. He's got six strikeouts, kind of shaking his head. I don't know if that pitch was located where he wanted, but, man, did he get the result he wanted.
What a tattoo one here. Robert takes off for third, and he's safe. He steals third. A little bit of a risk with two outs, but if they're going to give it to you, take it. Meanwhile, 1-1 the count. Here's the pitch, and that one bounces in front of the plate. Gets away from Stassi. Robert will score. There you go. Right on cue. The pitch, Eaton with a high fly ball right field. It is deep. It is at the wall, and it is gone. That is a two-run homer. Adam Eaton makes it 3-1. Zach swings, and it's a high fly ball. Center field. Actually, right center. It's caught by Fowler. And the Angels come from behind, putting up two in the eighth off Aaron Bummer. And they engineer a 4-3 win. Neither run was earned in that eighth inning, but the runs count when the White Sox drop the season opener.
Yeah, unfortunate. That was a very winnable baseball game. Cubs and Pirates don't play again till tomorrow. Danny, weather tomorrow, good, right?
Magnificent, boys, in the 60s.
And then Sunday in the 70s.
70s, perfect for an Easter egg hunt.
How about that?
Egg hunt Sunday, say that five times fast, 70 degrees.
I'm going to pass.
You try it.
You know what's awesome? You see, like, the five-day forecast, and it says Sunday, 70 degrees. And actually, somebody, I think it was WGN, wrote hot. That's how you know you live in Chicago. But 70 degrees is referred to as hot.
Hey, Butler's getting it done.
Danny, you guys celebrate Crazy. The Easter holiday in the Zetterman household?
We search for eggs. We won't be searching for eggs on Sunday, but we will search for eggs probably next Tuesday.
And, of course, in the Zetterman household, that means they search for eggs at the Whole Foods.
That is
nonetheless
correct. They're organic.
Pasture-raised, most important.
Cage-free.
Pasture-raised.
Cage-free is so 1990s.
So, what is?
Cage-free.
What do you mean, so 1990s? That's what they sell in the store now. It all says cage-free eggs.
That's like a given now. It's cruel to the bird.
Whatever. It's a bird.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh. Now Cap's getting canceled.
There we go. PETA's going to call.
PETA on line
people,
one.
PETA, people eating tasty animals.
Chicken PETAs are going to be mad at you today.
Boy.
Yeah, if the eggs I eat, they have to come from a chicken that has a personal membership to a gym. Because if not, they're not taking care of the chicken, right?
Correct. Agreed. And that chicken has to be driven like in a limo. It's got a car service
personal
right to
driver.
The gym.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Bagawk! How about those kettlebells? Bagawk! The Angels. And I'll tell you what, Joe Maddon's team is good. It's a good team.
Solid.
It's a good, solid team.
Yep.
They got a chance at a nice run because offensively I like what they have. It's good. But the White Sox, again, when we talk about the White Sox or the Cubs, it's not saying that this is who they are. You just don't want them to have bad trends. It's been a bad trend for the Cubs for a while offensively. But for the White Sox, it's the little things, Cap. That's the thing that is irritating to me. It's a great conversation, I think, that we've had, especially with Jesse and our callers, regarding Madrigal trying to steal second base. I almost had Madrigal bingo yesterday, like bad play, trying to steal second, and then I don't know if he had the green light or not, and then defensively not great. Just, we guess, I go through the growing pains, I guess, with him over at second base. But I'm not going to kill the kid, but I just don't want it to be a trend. But the whole thing about replay, it's not 30 seconds, it's 20 seconds. But Jesse made a great point. Last time we saw La Russa in the dugout, there was no replay.
Correct.
What's happening now? What are we doing? Is he safe or out? Time's up.
That's it.
It's like the Vikings draft.
Correct.
Yeah, your time's up, sir.
Yes. Next up on the clock,
the Ravens come running in to challenge the play instead of Tony La Russa.
Exactly. Actually, it's a good point, right? He's never had replay before.
Never.
But it can't happen again, Cap. Someone's got to be able to look at that play, or as Jesse said, take Madrigal's word for it. Okay, he says he was safe, but as you said, all players believe that they're safe.
Yeah, I remember watching in the World Series when they picked off Francisco Lindor, and he's looking in the dugout going, man, I'm safe, no chance, and Joe Maddon challenged it, out. Well, I thought you said you were safe. Every player thinks they're safe.
Yeah. It was a close play over at second base.
Bang, bang.
It was very close.
Bang,
so
bang.
That's something that's got to be adjusted for sure. But I feel bad for Giolito because he pitched well enough to win. It's 5 1/3, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, 8 strikeouts. As Len Casper said on the broadcast yesterday, he goes, you know, he's got no-hit stuff. Didn't want to say no-hitter, but he's got that kind of stuff. So it could be a special night. It was good for a while.
Let me ask you a question. If you're doing the play-by-play.
Yes.
They're through 5 innings. He's throwing a no-hitter or a perfect game. Do you reference it?
Yes.
Same here. My job is to report the story.
Yeah.
And if I had that kind of juice that I was going to break up a no-hitter because I said he's got a no-hitter through five, you think I'm going to waste my energy and my power on that? I'm going to get the freaking lottery numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just, but you know that baseball is the most superstitious sport there is.
Right, but I have done that before. I've tweeted out, hey, tell your friends, get to NBC Sports Chicago where the Cubs, I've got a no-hitter through. And then, invariably, the first hitter of the next inning gets a hit. See, idiot, you jinxed it. You think I'm going to use my superpowers on that?
What if that's the only superpower you had, though? You could break up no-hitters, but you couldn't. There's nothing else. You had no other tangible use. Like, you can't go play lottery numbers. It doesn't work for that. It's just you can break up no-hitters when you alert people of the fact that a no-hitter is happening.
Would you use that as a superpower or have more lead in your pencil?
I got plenty of lead, so I'd use that as my superpower.
Oh, plenty of lead, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Good to be me.
Yeah, that's good.
That's it.
Who do you use it on? Or what do you use it for?
Wow. Mindy, call the show.
I don't think she would tell me that.
Let's go to the phones. James is in Gurnee. Hey, James, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, boys. Long-time caller, man. Hoodie, you're doing a great job.
Thank you, James.
Real quick, boys. Let's really put in perspective for a second. I'm going to steal a little Yurko line. Starbucks, boys. What have they really done? Now, 16, I'll take it. I'm not going to give that away for nothing. I'm 48. The Cubs won the World Series. Great, but what have they set us up for the future? What have they done? Wills, Contreras, and Baez, who drafted them? Who have they drafted that's made a big impact, and what have they done to set the future up? And what did Jed do in San Diego? The best thing for Ricketts was do to get rid of both of them. You tell me, besides 2016, who have they drafted and what have they done to set this team up after he passed on? Everybody's got this infatuation with them. Great.
Yeah.
But they haven't done BS. So set us up for the future. What do you think? Love you guys. You're doing a great job.
James, thank you.
Thanks, James.
Have a great Friday. As I've told Cap many times, I wish the Cubs would have been able to run their operation like the Dodgers, in which you can win and actually still build a farm system at the same time.
Agreed. That's a great point. Like, why do I look at the Washington Nationals, who have a high payroll, who signed Max Scherzer for $210 million and signed... who's the other? They signed Patrick Corbin for big money. Mm. Who's the other free agent? They signed another huge... Oh, they had Harper there.
They didn't sign Harper.
No, they drafted
Rendon
Harper.
Left.
So
what are you trying to...
They spend a lot of money on payroll in Washington. It's not like a low-budget team.
No, you're right about
and
that.
And at the same time, they find Juan Soto, who's the best young player in the sport.
You know he's the next Ted Williams.
Yes, I've heard people say that. Or the Dodgers.
Yes.
They run out Gavin Lux,
yeah,
or Seager, and they keep competing with a 200-something... But they keep running these young guys out. I'm like, where'd they get that guy? Or the Atlanta Braves. Where's our Ronald Acuna Jr.?
I know.
At 21.
That's a special player. Special young player. Because you build on those young guys.
Right.
And we're trying to figure out whether Contreras can play left.
Correct.
I mean, where's your Contreras in the minor league system?
Correct.
That's the whole thing. Like, you could cut the cord with some of these guys and say, let's make a trade if you had a good farm system.
Correct.
That's why they're holding their cards so tightly.
Correct.
You know, today, by the way, sidebar, may I approach Your Honor?
You may. Brought to you by Kenneth Allen Law Firm. Not really, but we're trying to get him.
You know, today is peanut butter and jelly day.
I did not know that.
Now, when you have your peanut butter and jelly, because it's good protein, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's good protein, peanut butter.
The peanut butter. The jelly is loaded. A lot of them have a lot of added sugars. I won't touch it.
So, Danny, is there healthy jam or jealy?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of them. There's some healthy jams.
St. Dalfour is one.
Yeah, without added sugars. Absolutely.
So today's peanut butter and jelly day.
I know. The Friday folder is next. That was leading it off.
Was it?
Me and you, we think the same. It's all right. Go ahead, man.
We'll talk about it next.
No. Go ahead.
Sidebar to your sidebar. May I approach briefly?
Yes, but you're the judge, though.
Is
that allowed, sidebar to sidebar?
Had I brought up that it was peanut butter and jelly day, he says to you, oh, great minds think alike, and we're kismet, and we're all that. Had I done that, you know what he would have done?
if you knew what we were doing on the Friday folder, you wouldn't have brought that up,
Well,
Kaplan.
No, here's the difference. Time out, if I may, Your Honor.
You may approach the sidebar
to
the sidebar.
Here's the thing. I never mentioned that was in the Friday folder, so I can't get upset with him. What would have happened is I would have mentioned something in the meeting, and you would either have not been listening because you're always busy on the phone in your meeting, or you would have blatantly disregarded the fact that I said that was for the Friday folder. That's why I'd get upset. But that situation did not happen here because I never mentioned that.
Okay. Right.
For you to ignore, just not pay attention to.
Correct.
Now, I'm not going to go along with the peanut butter because I don't know what Danny's going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just wait and see. I did have a question in mind, but it might be different for what Danny asked.
Well,
in
the folder, I just bring that up. I would just have said to you, today is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day, and let you take it from there.
Oh, okay. So there was no setup.
So we'll get to that.
See? But see, again, the radio sage had it in my mind. Danny had it in his mind. And we still made a good segment out of it. You see?
Kiss me.
You kiss mine.
Friday folder is next.
Kiss mine.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood show.
The Friday folder. And if you have any requests for the show, just shoot us a tweet at Tweet Jay Hood or at The Cap Man, and we will try and oblige. We have someone who wants you to do Rex Brothers and Jerry Reinsdorf back to back. Right now, it's time for the Friday folder brought to you by Apt Electronics. Here's Daniel Zetterman.
This is Waddle's favorite song, by the way.
Shocking.
You know that?
What song is this?
Rockford Files.
This is his favorite, all right.
Yep, that's
Jim good. Rockford in his Camaro or Firebird or whatever it was. Trans Am.
All right, boys, let's pick up right where we left off. Today, April 2nd, 2021, is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day.
So, Danny, let me ask you and Cap, how do you do your peanut butter and jelly? Do you put the jelly in the middle? Do you put the jelly on one side of the bread and peanut butter on the other? How do you do it?
I actually put the peanut butter, which I buy you go to the grocery store and you can grind it in the machine right there into the container.
Oh, what's that like?
It's awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll get you some. And it is only either I get almond butter or peanut butter, and it is only the nut being ground up. There's no added this, there's no added that. I put it on. I'm not a bread guy anymore. I got rid of it. But if I occasionally...
Just indulge him. He asked you the time you're telling him how to make a watch.
You ever eat a peanut butter and jelly without the bread?
So yeah, good. Just indulge him.
I will. I'll put it on
hoodie,
celery.
To answer your question, take the bread.
I put the peanut butter
on one
or the
side.
Almond butter, and I put jelly on that, and I put more jelly on the other side. So I have extra oomph if I'm eating it.
That's all I asked you. You know, we have a 3-hour show.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I do. I grind my peanut.
No. No one asks you. No one cares about what you do with your nut.
And I recommend the wild blueberry from St. Dalfour, no added sugar.
Brother, I didn't ask you all that.
Okay.
We're on until 10.
I may want to stay longer.
Okay, Danny, how do you...
I take the bread.
Jeez.
On one side of the bread, I slap on the peanut butter. And on top of that peanut butter, I slap on a thick layer of jelly. The other piece of bread is completely bare and naked.
Kismet.
Goes gotcha. On top of it.
You and I are kismet in that
kismet.
Regard.
Yeah. Can I tell you something crazy about this? This just came up yesterday. Every day when I go home, my snack is I eat almond butter straight out of the jar.
You like Meller did.
Yeah.
Meller, a longtime peanut butter and apple slice guy.
Yes.
No. Actually,
used to be.
Danny will never, you're right about that, but Danny will never admit this. He'll never do it. Throw a banana on your PB&J.
Oh, peanut! You know what I used to do is I used to take a banana, cut it straight down the middle, and slap peanut butter in between it, and then close that up. So it was like a peanut butter banana sandwich. But yesterday I get home, I'm eating my almond butter out of the jar. My wife walks into the kitchen and says, that's absolutely disgusting. And I thought she meant me eating out of the jar. She told me that in her life, and she's around my age, can't give up a woman's age.
Right.
She has never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in her entire life.
Whoa.
Not one.
Well, you might get some divorce papers there.
She's like, whose idea was it to put peanut butter and jelly together? Doesn't even make sense.
What is she? This is the thing, though. What is Diana, a child? If you haven't tried it, if you've never tried it before, don't criticize it.
Exactly.
Yeah. She has no idea what she's missing. She's gone her entire life without tasting peanut butter and jelly.
It's really good.
It's awesome.
Doesn't like Jersey Mike's or Subway or
Potbelly.
Potbelly has the best.
It's toasted bread.
Yes.
They melt it and it's like gooing out of there. It's like a treat.
But you ever go through Potbelly and you order the PB&J, the person making your sandwich gives you the big sigh. Because they know they have to walk over now. They have to get the peanut butter and jelly, and they have to make you a PB&J. And it's not as simple as the the assembly line that they're normally used to. So they get kind of frustrated when you order a PB&J.
I've been there downstairs. Yeah. I've been there. It's like the big sigh, like, it's just not like my tomatoes and onions and mustard. And I got to actually get the knife, get the Skippy. And then put it all together. Oh, my God. What is he, a child? Yes, I am. Yes, ma'am, I am.
Just take my credit card and give me my sandwich.
And crunchy, please.
That's another jar.
We don't do bananas anymore, sir.
Oh, God. Whatever. All right, Danny.
Gentlemen, this has to be brought up. It's not really a headline. But on this day, April 2nd, 2009, your Chicago Bears traded for Jay Cutler.
Almost got through the show without mentioning his name.
That was the last time I was on David Kaplan's TV show. As we were doing, I was on a panel with Dan Pompey. And Cap says, Jay Hood, what do you think? I said, I found my camera 3. Let me tell you something. This is not what the Bears do. There's no way that Jay Cutler's coming here. And, like, Pompey's next to me. Goes, well, I've been hearing some. I don't care what you're saying, Pompey. There is no way that. I was never asked back.
That trade went down, I went, that's the stupidest trade I've ever heard.
The crazy thing is, I was back in the day of the fax. Yeah. So I got a fax here. I was producing Carmen, Yurko, and Harry in the afternoons, 2 to 6. I got a fax here, and I looked at it, and it said, the Bears acquired Jay Cutler. And I'm like, okay, this is a late April Fool's joke because it was April 2nd. And I had to make like 20 calls to verify it. And then I brought it in and Carmen lost his mind.
His mind.
I was going to say something else and I caught myself.
Cap, let me tell you something. There's no way they're going to bring in Jay Cutler. That's not what the Bears do. Where's my camera? 3? There's no. And then, of course, they got him.
I got a fax here.
Is it like hours later, Hoodie? Or is it a half hour? How long?
I mean. The next day. Yeah, I think it was.
He was on April 1st, and it was April 2nd that the trade went down. Yeah.
Pompey, I know that you're like this Hall of Famer, but you don't know. Step out of the way.
It's not happening.
Let me tell you something, Pompey.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have that guy back on anymore.
I was never asked
back. Credibility.
Yeah. Yelling into the camera.
Go on.
I was on Webio back then.
Gentlemen, DePaul has reached a deal with Oregon assistant Tony Stubblefield to take over as the Blue Demons men's basketball coach.
Who?
Dana's brother, Tony Stubblefield.
That's not the.
Don't bring up Dana's. Dana's bad.
That's
bad
not
dude.
Good.
Bad dude.
Well, what's that's the only other Stubblefield I know.
I know.
Guys.
Just lose him because Dana Stubblefield, bad dude. Google it.
He's in trouble.
You got any insight on what Peavy's doing over there in West Belton?
I don't.
What the hell is that?
I will reserve judgment. I'm not going to be critical because I want our teams in our town to be good. This is one of the most bizarre hirings I've ever heard. We got a guy who has no ties to recruit this area. We got a guy who's never been a head coach. So let me get this right. Marquette is the identical Milwaukee version of DePaul. Is that a fair assessment?
Fair, yep.
Okay,
yep.
Both, you know, based in the Catholicism way, and they're both in the same league, and they've been rivals forever, Ray Meyer, Al McGuire, to where we are today. Marquette fires their guy, Steve Wojciechowski, and what do? They're going to the top shelf, and they go pay whatever it takes. Get me Shaka Smart. He's got Wisconsin ties. It's a fit. What do? We can't get Kenny Payne out of an assistant job with the Knicks. All right, we'll take the Stubblefield dude. Are you kidding?
He wasn't.
I hope he's good.
He wasn't hot on anyone's list.
Nobody.
That's not a name I heard. Now, he was good as a recruiter for Oregon now.
Correct. That's Oregon with the power of Nike behind you.
I'm just baffled by that hire.
Baffling.
I don't understand that hire, Danny. I don't get it.
Baffling. I hope he's good. I will root for him because he's a Chicago guy now, but that hire is unbelievably baffling.
Now, I'll take that higher if you hire Robert Smith or Slaughter out of the high school ranks. I'll do that because at least someone knows the pipeline, right?
Hope so.
When you hire Coach Slaughter?
I would hire one of those guys, yeah.
Okay. Or from Whitney Young or Coach Smith from Simeon?
Yeah.
By the way, the De La Salle job is open. You're available?
No, I'm not their cup of tea. I'm sure.
Why?
It's a Catholic school. They don't want a Jew patrolling the sidelines.
Nobody cares about that anymore.
Do you think a Catholic high school where you're sending your child for a Catholic education, God bless him, is going to go, yeah, there's our Jewish head coach. Come on.
I don't think that matters. You're not teaching the religion. You're teaching basketball.
You're not the theology teacher, are you?
What do you think?
They can't have a Jewish driver's ed teacher either? That makes no sense.
That's like the face of the athletic department is that basketball job.
Okay, so if you're not comfortable, that's fine. But it's not to say that you can.
I didn't say I'm not. Okay, I don't think they'd be comfortable with me.
I think you'd be fine.
Yeah, I think you're putting. Yeah.
Think so?
Yeah. You're not going to.
So you can take the job?
No.
They're not going to ask you to go perform service on Sundays. It's like, hey, you get the kids in the gym, you know, take care of that.
Hosanna in the highest. I mean, I'm just telling you. Blessed is he who comes in the name. I'm just telling you.
And you could play
that.
You could teach the. Usually you have to. There's a teaching component, too. You could either. If you're not going to do the physical education classes, Cap, you could at least teach the Old Testament.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Leave the New Testament to the football coach. Cap can handle the Old Testament and the basketball coach.
Because you were around during those days.
No question.
Yeah. The Old Testament, you were around.
Yeah.
Social Security number's one. You didn't learn history because you hadn't lived it yet.
Exactly.
Do you remember that?
No, I was there.
There was no history class, Danny. How about that, Danny?
All right.
What about Danny?
We're out of time.
There's no out of time. Danny's still got the mic.
I'm going to give you one more because this is really too good to pass up. I really want to talk about Kevin Durant's non-apology.
Ooh.
But that's a longer conversation, so I'll give you this one. An MMA fighter suffers a severed finger during a match. Now, I watched the video. I'm not talking he broke the finger. I'm not talking he dislocated the finger. The finger came right off during the match.
All right, I'm going to throw up.
That's tough.
I called MMA, and I had to walk in there, and they wanted me to raise the hand of the winner, and the guy was covered in blood. I'm like, no shot.
Ooh.
You ever heard about transmission? Yeah, hard pass.
That had nothing to do with the car. What about the blood?
Ugh.
The guy was laying on the mat. He literally looked like he was as stoned as that guy that didn't realize he was in Kenya. I mean, he lost a finger in a fight.
Brutal.
And he kept fighting.
Which finger?
I think it was his pointer. It was all covered in blood.
Oh, that's a bad one.
If you're going to lose a finger, you definitely lose the
Jason
pinky.
Jason Pierre,
no,
Paul.
No. Ring. I think the ring is the one you would want to lose. The pinky is actually.
How could I ever lose my ring? I wouldn't be able to wear my wedding ring.
I think the pinky
you're fine
is
with that.
The pinky and the thumb.
Wow.
Danny's single again.
Carm will be in with some trends, and we'll get some calls if you want. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bill Cerrones.
With Hoodie, I'm Cap. Carmen for some
Bill
quick
Cerrones.
Trends. And Carm, how are you?
Good.
Other than
Nick Madrigal making errors again.
Oh, jeez.
We'll get into it, though.
Don't say it to this guy.
Don't worry. We'll get into it during cross
Because
talk.
He's so cute and you put him in your back pocket.
Yeah, well,
that guy. Let me tell you.
Real cute. So, by the way, he was Hercules.
Yes, Hercules. Kevin Zorbo is Hercules.
No, you're talking about
Nick Madrigal.
Madrigal?
Yeah,
he's
right.
Anything but Hercules.
Ain't Hercules, I'll tell you that much. He's one of the Three Stooges from Hercules and the Three Stooges. Remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Spengoli on a Saturday.
Exactly, Hoodie. That's exactly right.
My esteemed partner here.
Who?
You.
Oh.
He keeps firing on me that I'm too kind to Nick Madrigal. I think he's got a really good upside. Well, he was the fourth overall pick. But you both are right.
Stop making
errors.
He's
got to be better.
This was a problem last year.
No, don't tell Cap that.
We're not asking you to do too much here.
Take that!
Anyway, we brought you in here for...
All right, trends.
Could you please tell me if there's value in either game for the Final Four? I'm looking for something that I can get an edge on. Is there anything I can kind of hang my hat on with either game on Saturday?
Well, I'll tell you guys this, that Baylor this year, if you want a pretty strong trend, Baylor is 8-0 against the spread as favorites anywhere from 8 points or fewer on the season. Okay, they are laying 5. I think this game screams Baylor to cover. Do you know that Houston in this tournament has yet to play a single-digit seed? Mm. Baylor went through Wisconsin, Villanova, and Arkansas and covered in all three games. They've got the best three-point shooting team in the country. They've got one of the best offenses in the country. They've got incredible backcourt depth. They look like the team that we saw in December and January before their little COVID thing, and they kind of came out of the blocks after that, and they weren't quite as good, and people were like, I don't know what's going on with Baylor. They faced better competition all year. I think Baylor is clearly the better team in this game, and with that trend of 8-0 against these spreads, I think Baylor's the best play of the weekend, to be honest.
Because I see chalk, but you see something different. I see chalk across the board.
I do, too.
Gonzaga is the best team to me
in
the tournament.
I'm not stepping in front of Gonzaga. I'm not. I mean, could you make an argument? And I don't know that I'll lay 14 points, but, I mean, there's no way I'm betting against Gonzaga. No chance. Do you guys know the last time Gonzaga failed to win by 10 points or more?
Mm. Would they end up beating BYU by
10? So the last time they failed to win by double digits. You guys want to take a guess?
I'm going to say 2018-19.
This year. I mean, this year. December 2nd.
So the Kansas game or the
West Virginia game?
The West Virginia game.
They won by 5. That's the last time. Now, I get their conference, you know, dictates that they're going to dominate. But
their
schedule
was pretty impressive, too.
Well, and their out-of-conference schedule was very impressive. Guys, they've won by 24 points per game in this tournament. They haven't been challenged or pressed for a minute. There is no way I'm stepping in front of Gonzaga. There's just no. And especially with a shorter turnaround and, you know, than normal, because normally, you would have finished on Sunday. But they didn't finish till Tuesday. And Juzang's ankle, I don't think, is going to be right. And what a story he's been. I mean, he's been spectacular. But without him at 100%, and I don't know how he possibly could be. And with less time to prepare, with a quicker turnaround, as scrappy as UCLA is, that's another one that I have a tough time. Not a game I'll play probably, but there is no way I'm betting against Gonzaga.
Not jumping in front of that train.
No.
So I know Odds Couple is not on until Saturday. It won't be a Friday.
We'll have the podcast will be up later tonight, though. It will be, yes. And then you'll hear it tomorrow morning. Because now that we've got White Sox baseball during the summer, yes, Mike and I will be podcast only on Fridays.
The reason why I ask is because I was wondering if you guys talked about the Bulls.
We will.
Bulls are a 12-point underdog against Utah.
And they're good on the road at covering.
They are pretty good. And look, if you've played the Bulls in every game they've been a dog so far this year, there's 30 of them. You're over your magic number in terms of gambling. You know, you need to clear about 53.5%. They're at 56.7% as an underdog. They covered as a small dog the other night. Utah's won 20 straight at home, guys. That's like a little known thing that's happening right now. They lost their first two home games of the year in December. They haven't lost since. They've won 20 straight at home. It's pretty incredible. Without knowing for sure about Zach and Kobe, that's another one that, you know, if you maybe want to wait till the last minute and see, and if they play, take a flyer on the Bulls. But, that's like a stay away for me because that's a lot of points. But I don't know. If they're shorthanded, the way Utah's played at home, I don't think I want to mess with that.
One quick note for you guys. Yahoo Sports Pete Thamel.
Yeah.
Who's very connected.
Yes, he is.
He gave the 5 candidates that he believes are being considered for North Carolina. Tony Bennett, Virginia.
Makes sense.
Chris Holtmann, Ohio State. Hubert Davis, current assistant, North Carolina, played there. Good Wes idea. Miller, former Carolina guy, UNC Greensboro head coach. Porter Moser, Loyola Chicago. How about if Porter gets North Carolina?
What do you think, Miller? He might lose your guy.
Here's the best one. What if Bill Self goes to North Carolina and
just like right
Porter in. Gets Kansas and brings
Why
sister...
Why would Bill go to...
And gets Sister Jean to go Kansas with. Danny would literally announce he's a Missouri.